That said, let's do a station ID right here. All right. Welcome back to the second hour of Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia, along with Nan and Pastor Jim, who we call PJ, right here on the air today. And we are live in the studio, as we always are, for these shows. Except I think we did a rerun once or twice on a Christmas day. But other than that, we always are here, right here, and enjoying being here to be able to bring the Word of God. This series is Rest in Peace, and it's about the fact that God wants peace in our lives, but He also wants us to learn to rest, you know, and to say, you know what, I like that peace. That feels pretty darn good. I think I'm just going to rest right here in the arms of Jesus, like we were just talking about in Luke 10, where Mary was just resting at the feet of Jesus. And you got a picture that she was very peaceful, and then in comes her sister, who was doing all the preparation of the food, making the tacos in the back, and she comes in and starts yelling at her for just sitting there at the feet of Jesus. How often do we have distractions like this, Nan, in our lives, where we're just trying to pray, we're just trying to rest, we're just trying to hear some praise music and rest, and somebody walks in and says, what are you doing? Come on, get busy, do this, do that, da-da-da.
That reminded me of something that happened when I was married, and I had gone to the other room because it was a really bad fight and a lot of stuff was going on, and I just needed to spend some time with God and pray. And I remember going to the other room, removing myself, and going to another room, you know, to pray. And my husband came in and started, like, mocking me and ridiculing me and, you know, what are you doing? He's not going to hear you. You know, I mean, that to me is a very vivid example of, you know, I was really trying.
Wow.
I was trying to pray, you know.
That's quite an example.
And, you know, so
but sometimes we can be hooked up with people that are not bringing us closer to God, that are indeed bad for us. And a lot of times at first, maybe it doesn't appear that they are that bad for us. And as we begin to spend more time or get closer to them, we realize that they're not contributing to our peace. They're actually distracting from it. PJ, you want to talk about any of that?
Well, that's true. I mean, been there, Nan, done that. So, but yeah, when things are crazy, you just need to walk away sometimes,
right,
and get with God, because first of all, you just need to separate yourself from the chaos, and then that's part of it. But then you need to just spend time with God, because that puts the finishing touches on it. That completes
right.
It.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I mean, it's great to get away, and but that's only half of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's still leaving you empty. You need to go to God then to fill you back up with peace.
That's exactly right. Go ahead.
No, I'm listening.
And just spend time in His presence, like Mary was doing. That's where the peace comes from, guys. Mm-hmm. In the Word, in the Bible, in praise music, in meditating on His goodness and His love for us and who He is and what He's doing, in taking requests to Him. Saying, here's what's going on, Lord, I need your help here. It's a matter of quality time. And sometimes it's not quantity sometimes. Sometimes our lives are so crazy busy, but we need to carve out some time, even if it's when you lay your head on the pillow at night or when you first open your eyes in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and talk to Him.
Well, you know, as people, as humans, we'll schedule special time for our best friend.
Sure.
Or for the friend we haven't seen in a while, or for the friend that we see on a regular basis, but we just enjoy their company.
Right.
We make it a point. I mean, I have social plans that I make with people that I enjoy spending time with.
I know.
It's on my calendar. You can check my phone. It is there.
I know.
You know, and just as we do that, we need to do the same thing with God.
I know. And PJ, she never invites us out to dinner.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
No, okay. But she did buy me French fries.
Oh, you got French fries today, soggy though they were. And, you know, yeah, that's really good. But you know what? I'm teasing you. But, Nan, this is exactly right. When we want to get to know somebody, we spend time with them.
I went through a period that I would write in my calendar a time on the day and put spend with God.
Wow.
So that for my own self, because I'm such a list person.
You are a list person.
A list person and a calendar person, that I would literally schedule that. It, not that I would have forgotten, of course, but it was to bring the point down to this is important.
Absolutely.
I must do this. Just like, Pastor, if I happened to invite you to dinner, I wouldn't stand you up. I really wouldn't.
That really would be a strange occasion, but no, strange. You would not do that, would you?
Just as I would not stand you up or Pastor Jim up, I'm not going to stand God up.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, I'm meeting you at 6 o'clock. Now, is that weird? It's a little bit, maybe over to just a little bit, but it's a reminder, it's to get you in a pattern.
You set alarms on your watch there all the time for things like this.
I do.
But it's a good thing, you know, because so often we get carried away with our busy days and our busy lives, and we forget that He is the most important thing in our life.
Let me just share this. I set on my phone something I had heard someone say about praying at noon or something, and I thought, you know, I need to thank God every hour during right. my day that I have my job, that I have my health, that I have blessings, that I have Him.
Right, sure.
So I literally set my phone, and I've stopped it now, but it would go off every hour at my office. And of course, you know, people think you're getting phone calls when you hear all this coming in all the time, you know? And so I told my principal, I said, oh yeah, I said, this is to remind me to thank God for my blessings.
Oh.
Because I was having a tough time at
That's
work.
Cool. That's cool.
And I was having a real hard time at work, you know? And that was just my way of going, okay, I need to like refocus myself every hour and be thankful that I have the job. And so,
Excellent.
So, and different ones kind of learned about it because it would go off and I would look at them and I didn't want them to think I was getting a phone call. So it's like, it's just to remind me. And I would tell them to count my blessings.
Right.
What I was really doing was saying a prayer to God. Thank you, Father, for my blessings.
Right.
Not just being thankful, but thanking Him. And they knew what Ooh. It was about. They knew what it was about.
Amen. This is a good song that reminds us there is none like you.
The exalted Lord.
Not sure who does this one.
Somebody from Hosanna Integrity.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Search for all eternity.
there is none like you.
Praise God. There's none like you, mighty God. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. You see, he's the Prince of Peace, dear ones. It was prophesied through the pen of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, when he talked about the Messiah coming. 700 or 800 years before Jesus actually came to this earth, he said he would be called Eternal Father, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Prince of Peace. And that's who he wants to be for every single one of us, Prince of Peace. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. And I believe so often we get caught up in just like that, just shuffling along, just keeping our eyes on the ground and not looking up to the Prince of Peace to help us with whatever is going on in our lives. Let's go on with verse 3. So your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. You know what? He's the Prince of Peace. He is your life. That's what we're talking about here. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too, the real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. And then this is talking about priorities. It's talking about the way we allow our thoughts to just take over. And sometimes our worries, our anxieties, our fears to run our house inside us, our mindset. Talk to us, Nan, then we'll go to PJ on this. It's a matter of priorities. It's a matter of where we place Christ in our life.
This radio show that we'll be in a topic and something will be happening and God will bring back to memory something from 25 years ago.
Right.
And it's just such a God thing. I can remember a time when I might face something or have something going on, and I would work my way in my mind all the way through to the end. And I would imagine the worst as I was thinking my thoughts.
I think a lot of people can relate to what you're saying right now.
I don't do that now, but I lived a certain amount of my life doing that. And that's such a waste.
But you know what that is really is fear talking. And you think that if I can plan it out and I can see how it ends, how the book ends, the situation, I'll be okay. Talk to us, PJ.
But sometimes we're not given that, and we, of course, tend to wander down that. Because we're human, I don't know, we just tend to always look a little more negatively at the outcomes rather than just assuming it could be a positive outcome. We tend to think something negative. And, you know, Paul here in Colossians is saying, seek the things that are above. Seek
yes,
those higher
yes,
things.
Yes.
Set your mind on things that are above.
Right.
Well, that would be things like the Lord, his attributes, his godliness, his faithfulness, his covenant love for us. I mean, set your mind on those things.
Right.
Instead of on the things that are going on here. And I think people sometimes, well, you're just telling us to ignore everything that's going on. No, don't ignore it, but pray about it, give it to God, and move on.
Right.
You know.
It's a matter of changing our perspective, but it's also a matter of changing our behavior, okay? Because so often our mindset, and you can quote me on this, dictates our behavior, okay? So if you're walking around with a pile of anxiety in your head and in your heart, it's going to show up. We call it these days stress, right? Stress is all of that junk that we're carrying around and we don't know how we're going to work it out. Or we feel like we're overburdened or we're overwhelmed. That's stress, okay? Stress is where, you know, if you put stress on an object, you change it in some way. Let's say that that you're pushing down hard on say somebody's hand, and let's say they don't have the arm strength. I'm pushing my own right here, but they don't have the arm strength to keep you from just taking your arm. Or let's talk about an arm wrestle. Arm wrestle is a good example. In an arm wrestling thing, you got two people, and one of them's trying to defeat the other, right, and push that arm down, correct? We can all picture an arm wrestle. That we can picture. And the stronger, the intensity of the person, maybe that person's not stronger, but mentally they are going, this guy's not going to get me, or this a match is not going to get me, and they just push, and they push through, and they don't give up. They just push, 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 and all of a sudden the opponent's hand goes down. Talk to us, PJ. I think it's a good metaphor.
Well, yeah, and it is all about mindset, and then you're right. It moves from mindset into behavior. And, you know, here in Colossians chapter 3, he says, put in verse 5, put to death whatever's earthly in you. Just put it to death.
Right.
And then he talks about in verse 8, put away anger, wrath,
yeah,
malice,
let go of it.
Slander, obscene talk.
Right.
Just let go of it. Do not lie, seeing that you have put off the old self and put on the new.
Right.
And I think that's something we don't realize. That old man was crucified.
Right.
Everything we inherited from Adam was nailed to the cross with Jesus. When Jesus came out of the tomb, a new life, we rose into a new life. That's what Paul's talking about here.
Sure is, yeah.
We're being renewed in true knowledge in the image of our Creator.
Amen.
You know, that goes back to some verses in Ephesians. Whom he foreknew, he predestined, or Romans chapter 8. Whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son.
Amen.
Wow. I mean, he knew us beforehand. And he's predestined us to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. And whoa, you know, he wants us to become like Jesus.
That's the whole goal.
Here on earth.
That's it, right there. And so often, our preoccupation with all of the issues going on in our lives keeps us from making these changes. In fact, I love the what it says here. Get rid of the bad temper, the irritability, the meanness. This is the Message Bible. The profanity, the dirty talk, lying. All the stuff is not going to bring peace into your life. It is just the opposite. And the devil wants you being totally obsessed and upset about the way somebody treated you. Or the devil wants you, spinning a lie to cover something you did. Or talk to us, Nan, about all of this. This stuff will drag you down and destroy your peace.
You won't be resting in peace.
No, you won't be resting, no.
And you also are not really going to be that effective for the kingdom's sake.
That's exactly right.
Because you're not, you know, you need to consume the word. Like we were already talking, spend time with God and consume the word. And if you're busy really consuming the word like you should be, a lot of that stuff's going to fall off.
It is.
Because you're going to consume what the word has to say about issues, you know?
Yeah, you're not going to want to stay in that same mindset. Oh, wow. So, I mean, I love this because we looking down at verse 12, so chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God has picked out for you, and then there's certain things that God wants you to be wearing. But you see, that first part of it, chosen by God for this new life of love. When we're doing all the things that we were just reading about in verse 8 of Colossians 3, we're not walking in the love of God. PJ, talk to us about that. We're just not.
Well, absolutely not. And I was thinking about, you know, in verse 5 and verse 8, it lists some things we're not supposed to do. We're supposed to put them to death, walk away from them. And any of those and all of those, we think, I just need to be angry at this person because they did something to me. Mm-hmm. Okay, that may be the human thing to do, but wrath, our wrath is never going to bring peace.
Absolutely
our
not.
Anger is never going to bring peace. Impurity, immorality, malice, slander. None of that's going to bring peace. It's just going to keep the waters stirred up. And
You know what? The devil loves it. When we are so preoccupied with a hurt, a resentment, what somebody's said about us, what somebody's done to us, the devil has us right where he wants us when we're like that.
Absolutely. And we may look at those things as substitutes. They're just cheap substitutes for peace.
Right.
If I can hold on to my resentment.
Right.
Then I'll just hold on to it and be nasty to this person. God says, no, you're taking a cheaper alternative to God's peace.
That's exactly right.
And,
but the devil feeds us a lie, PJ.
Oh, absolutely.
He really does, and says, you need to be mad about this. With this series on Go Yard we're doing right now, we've been talking about grudges, and we're calling them the grudgers. You know, it's a lot of people in our lives are grudgers, you know, versus forgivers. That's the essence of what we're talking about right now. The grudgers versus the forgivers. And the grudgers feel very justified in holding a grudge and being resentful and being bitter because the devil sells them a pack of lies and other people around them say, oh, that was horrible what happened to you. Let's talk about it again and again and again.
Let's just keep bringing it back up. And instead of meditating
on... That's grudger mentality.
Yeah, instead of meditating on the word, you're meditating on the hurt. And
that's exactly right.
All that does is breed anger, bitterness, wrath, clamor, to quote some King James for Nan.
There you go. Thank you.
But, I mean, if you meditate on the hurt, you're just going to become more hurt. If you meditate on the word, God's going to heal the hurt.
You know, I so agree. And we played that song second today. We will embrace your move. The move of God and the rain of God right now, the spring rain that he's wanting to do in our lives, or the fall rain, whichever one it is that maybe it's the fall rain, breaking up that fallow ground. Is that correct? Am I wrong with that? Is it spring rain? Okay, well, whichever.
It would be the fall rain.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Because that's actually the early rain.
That's the early rain, right? The fall rain, where you're breaking up some of that.
Because in Israel, you can plant crops in the fall.
Okay, so you're getting your crop ready to go, okay? So what we need to do in our lives is recognize when we're grudging, when we are being resentful, when we are being unforgiving. And you say, Pastor, this is strong. Well, we need to hear it strong, guys, because we need to realize it is not okay to hold grudges. It is not okay to be unforgiving. It is not okay to be resentful. You can choose to not spend time with somebody that maybe not be good for you, but to hold resentment and unforgiveness and bitterness towards them, that is not okay. Talk to us, Nan.
What came to mind was another personal example of how God has helped me. You know, I was in a bad marriage, a bad divorce, and moved on with that. And God helped me a lot in that. Three or four years ago, something like that now, my ex-husband's mother passed away. And I was still in contact with her some because of our child, and I would let her take him and do things with him. And anyway, so through a whole line of circumstances, it was okayed by my ex-husband for me to come to the funeral.
Wow.
So I went to the funeral of the mother of my ex-husband.
Wow.
Now, I was not holding on to all the stuff that had happened between us, or else I wouldn't have been able to have gone to a funeral and see him, because mm-hmm. I actually saw him. I went over to express my condolences to him. He grabbed me and embraced me in a hug.
Whoa.
I didn't expect that. Okay. But I mean, but it was, I had dropped all that stuff, all that grudging, mm-hmm. all that resentment, all that pain, all that stuff I had dropped with God's help because I spent time in the Word and spent time with him, meditating on him, that I was able to do that.
Well, and isn't it a much better way to live when we don't have, when we can honestly say, I don't knowingly have enemies out there. Maybe I do, but I'm not aware of it. And if they have wronged me, I have chosen to forgive and move on. Pastor Jim, so often I think this is one of the biggest peace robbers that we have in our lives is areas of resentment and unforgiveness when people have done us wrong, clearly wrong.
Well, absolutely. I mean, well, you spent that entire, we did a whole series a few years back about forgiveness, forgive it or
right.
forgive or forget it.
Right.
And that's the point. I mean, well, I can't forgive them. And you know what? I think like you said, all through that series, we have such a wrong idea of what forgiveness
yes,
is.
Yes.
It's not being all mushy. It's
no.
saying, you can't make this right. I can't make this right. I'm not going to hold you to it anymore.
Right. You don't owe me anymore.
You don't owe me anymore. I mean, and that, when you said that, your first time I heard it from you was, that made such sense to me because, I mean, I watch a lot of the ID shows and like murders and stuff. And there's such a difference when the people say, I never forgive him. When the people say, you know what? I had to forgive.
Exactly.
I had to forgive this person. Even
right.
for the horrible things they did, because you can't move on. If I'm constantly latched to people that have hurt me,
right.
I can't move forward because
that's
I've
exactly
got them trailing
right.
behind me.
They're the baggage. They're the baggage, you know? I did not intend to do this song, but you know what song we're going to do right now? Chain Breaker. Why are we going to do Chain Breaker by Zach Williams?
Because God, Jesus, is the chain breaker. He gets rid of the baggage.
Woo!
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. Lost, he's a waymaker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you feel lost, well, he's a waymaker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains.
Woo!
He's a chain breaker.
Yeah. You got chains.
If you need freedom,
uh-huh.
A savior, he's a prison shaking savior.
Prison shaking savior. You got chains.
He's
a chain breaker. Woo! Yes, now you know why the Holy Spirit wanted that played. Because all this stuff we're talking about, Pastor Jim, are chains in our lives, and it will not serve any good to hang on to grudges, resentment, unforgiveness. And you don't have to hang out with people that have hurt you, but you do need to forgive them, period.
Right, because forgiveness means I can move on. In fact, you know, Paul talks about that here in Colossians chapter 3. having those in verse 12, the compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if someone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other
it's
as
right
the Lord
what verse
has,
is that? Colossians 3.
3:13. Forgiving each other as the Lord has for also forgiven you.
It's Mark 11, 23, 24, 25, and Jesus said, hey, if you could speak to that mountain, go jump in the sea or go jump in the lake. You got faith like that. And then but the end of that, he goes, you know, he's saying basically anything's possible when you believe God and you pray. But then he goes into, at the end of verse 25, he says, but wait a minute. Unless you forgive, it's not going to work.
Right. Well, and then Paul follows up in verse 14, above all these things, put on love.
Put on love.
Which binds everything together in perfect harmony.
Yeah.
You can't walk in love till you've walked in forgiveness. And people think, oh, I can't do it. Yeah, you can. It's a decision.
It's a decision.
It's not an emotion. Forgiveness is a decision. Walking it out is where all the other stuff starts to roll away. But the first step is making that decision. You don't owe me. I'm letting it go.
I'm letting it go. You know, I just did the Facebook post this week a couple of days ago. You can go to my post, Marcia McAllister, or go to Beacon of Hope Ministries. That's
right,
the easiest
it's on
one.
There.
And in that post, it was about this whole concept of giving it to God and how so often we say, well, I don't know how to give it to God. That's just something to say. And we went into three steps to give it to God, which I'm not going to go into now. Once you go to Facebook and watch that video, it's only like 17 or 18 minutes. But Pastor Jim, it starts with a decision. You said it, and it is right on. A decision to not continue the unforgiveness, the grudging,
right,
the resentment, to let it go.
You have to let it go. You acknowledge that there's the issue. And,
right,
you know, nobody wants, I mean, some pretty horrible things have been done to people. And you just don't ignore those things that have happened.
That's right.
You have to acknowledge, however, that the perpetrator cannot pay you back.
Right.
Ever.
They don't owe you.
They don't owe you. They can't owe you. Just in the same way, I like what Paul said here, same way that Christ has forgiven you. There's no way we could pay back to God what we owe him.
Right.
Never. Never in an infinity number of years, because we are so finite, we are so sinful, and
right,
he's perfect righteousness, perfect
right,
holiness, perfect love. Well, there's no way we could ever do that.
That's right. And you know, that there was an old song we used to sing many, many years ago. You'll remember this. He paid a debt.
He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt. I'm off.
I owed a debt I could not pay.
I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace.
That's it.
Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
And so often we want the people to pay. Wait, not necessarily in money. We want them to pay by coming and bowing at our feet, so to speak, and saying, I really wronged you. And the truth of the matter is, most people in our lives that have wronged
They're
us will
do
never
it.
Do that.
They're not going to do
so
it.
So if you're hanging on to that, dear one, let it go.
Right. Because well,
it's not going to happen more than likely.
Right. And it's just easier to forgive.
Yes.
Let it go, because that, especially when you hold unforgiveness, those are chains that keep you from moving forward.
They do.
Because tied in with unforgiveness, you cannot fully love.
You can't.
You cannot fully receive from God. You cannot walk in faith.
You can't.
I mean, these are all intertwined together. And so often, unforgiveness is the root of why people don't grow in Jesus.
Oh, absolutely it is. And it's why people leave churches mad. It's why a lot of times why marriages break up. Sometimes there's a lot of other reasons, but a lot of times there's a lot of unforgiveness, and you got to work through that, and you got to let it go, and you got to quit holding grudges and resentments, because they're not going to help you, and they're going to give you aches and pains in your body.
Oh, yes.
And Dr. Angel and I are going to talk about that this Thursday. some medical things there where resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness cause medical problems. It's been scientifically proven that cancer has a lot of roots in bitterness and some other things. Talk to us, Nan. Talk to us.
I just don't want to hold on to those things.
Why not? Isn't it fun to have a grudge?
It's not fun to have a grudge.
Really?
I'd rather have fun. We always say life is too short to do whatever. Life is too short to hold on to those things.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're not enjoying your life holding on to those things because you're occupying your time dwelling on who wronged you, dwelling on what was done to you, dwelling on who said whatever about you 30 years ago. They done forgot who you are, you know.
But I've known a lot of people through the years as a pastor who could sit in a counseling session with me or just in their home visiting and say, well, yeah, I can't come to church because I'm mad at so-and-so and what they did and how they said this or how they kept me off of that committee or, you know, on and on and on. I could tell you thousands of stories about this kind of stuff. And what it speaks to is the body of Christ has got to learn to forgive. The body of Christ has got to learn to love and really let go of those things that we hold against each other. They can't be that important, really, that you want to go the rest of your life not communicating with that person? Well, you don't know what they did. Well, give it to God. Learn to do that. Go to our Facebook post from this past week, giving it to God, and I think it will really help you. It's called #RestInPeace3. So that's the way to find it on Facebook, too. #RestInPeace3. Talk to us, PJ, about these attributes that he's talking about. This is our mission statement for Beacon of Hope, and it was for my church in Indiana, Cornerstone Ministry. It was these same verses here. Chosen of God, do these things. Put on compassion. Right. Put on.
Well, he calls us holy and beloved.
Yeah.
Compassionate hearts. He's telling us to put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Oh, I don't want to. You know, in my flesh, I don't want to do that.
That's not you talking. That's just you're saying some people say.
Yeah.
Because you're not like that, PJ. You're a loving, forgiving man.
You know, especially in this day and age.
Right.
Especially, and I'll be honest, the last 10 years probably, we have become the most discompassionate people I know.
Oh, yeah.
We're not kind. We're not humble. We're not meek. We have no patience. And right here, Paul just says, look, you're God's chosen. Put these things on. Because think about Jesus. He was compassionate. A lot of times when he worked miracles, the scripture says he had compassion.
Oh, yeah.
And he fed them. He had compassion and he healed them.
Right.
He had compassion and he taught them.
Yes.
Jesus was motivated by that. Kindness. Yeah, he was kind. Humble.
Right.
Yeah. Meek. And
for
patient.
Sure.
Now, people will say, well, but he lost his temper in the temple. Well, yeah, it was his house that was being defiled. I think that's justified. And he did it with meekness, though.
Right.
Yeah, there is a time for anger.
Sure.
But we tend to twist that and we get all this unforgiveness wrapped up in our anger.
Right.
Jesus had righteous anger, and that's what that's talking about. So he can still maintain meekness. Meekness means just submitting to God.
Right.
And being patient, letting God work it out, not trying to rush God or push God in a corner. And then I love this bearing with one another. I just love that phrase. It's like, you know, we talk about bearing one's cross. Well, now we got to bear with each other.
Right. Which means what? Oh, just put that down in our terms.
Well, it means putting up with each other,
basically. Like we do with Nan.
Like we do with Nan.
Like we do with Nan.
But I mean, we're just teasing.
Girl. Of course you are. Of course you are. We all know that.
But of course, that proverb that I just read this last month, I read through Proverbs. He who pulls a dog, he who taunts a neighbor and says, I was just joking, is like a man who picks up a dog by the ears. So forgive me.
I thought my ears were feeling a little bit full.
But I mean, you know, he says, bearing with one another, just, putting up with each other.
Yeah.
making room for each other's little idiosyncrasies.
Hey, let's talk about that a minute, because this is where a lot of times we lose our peace. And I mean, we've been saying all the show, this is where we lose our peace. This is where we lose our peace. But this is another one of those places where we lose our peace, where we are critical of others, and it translates into things we say about them to other people. It translates into our face when we see them. We're not happy to see them. We're kind of like, oh, here she comes, you know. It translates into bad behavior.
Yes.
Don't you think, PJ?
Well, yeah, and I know I catch myself doing this. It's perfect time when I know I obviously there's something wrong. I just for a brief second, you can see it.
Rolling your eyes?
Yeah, and then then you put on the happy face.
Right. People that roll their eyes and somebody catches them rolling their eyes.
Right, but then you put on the happy face.
Right.
But, and bearing with each other, if one has a complaint, and this is where we get wrong, you forgive each other.
Right.
Jesus set it up in Matthew 18. Somebody sins against you, this is... The process is there. Paul says, someone has a complaint, forgive.
Forgive.
Okay. And forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive.
It's not an option.
No.
It's not if you feel like it. It's if you want to be clothed in the things that God wants us to be wearing, love, compassion, forgiveness, and all that. You got to let go of these things that drive you crazy about somebody.
Well, and in verse 14, and above all these things, put on love.
Right.
The greatest of these is love. I mean, we could spend months talking about that. But above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. It's like, dough. When you're making dough for a pie crust.
Right.
Mm. But it binds it, you bind it together.
Right.
Or making clay to do a statue or a sculpture. You mold it to bind it together.
Yeah,
and love
you do.
Does that. It binds us together within ourselves, body, soul, and spirit.
Right.
But it also binds us together with one another.
Yes. So the part of us that finds fault so often and so easily has to be surrendered at the cross.
Right.
Not that somebody isn't wrong, maybe in what they're doing or how they're acting or the way they're talking to you or whatever, but that's where God, okay, here, I give this to you. I can't change them. How many times have we heard people say they get married and thinking they'll change their husband or their wife after they marry him?
Ah.
Right? It doesn't happen that way. Okay? We either learn to put up with the idiosyncrasies and the things, or we talk them out in a very constructive way and we grow through that. Or eventually people will grow apart. They will grow apart because those kinds of things will pull people away from each other. Nan, are you there?
I'm here. I don't have any comments to weigh in on that.
All right. That was a pregnant pause.
What's a pregnant pause?
I don't know. I just heard that term before. A pause that's ready to say, say
it's
something.
Like a lengthy pause where you know something needs to be said.
Right. Okay, so let's kind of talk about this a minute before we do this song. I think so often all those things that we've been talking about in this show are real things that happen. We get irritated with others because of things they do or don't do. We get... maybe just preoccupied with wishing they were different, wishing they did this and did that. And we have a very hard time letting that go and giving it to God and letting him do the work. And that was, again, the purpose of that Facebook post, because so often we can't change those people. We can't change their behavior. We can't change the things they say or do. But God can. And that's the hope. With God, all things are possible. Mm-hmm. So as we learn to give them Jesus, as we learn to take more of Jesus in our lives, I believe we become softer. I believe we become more tolerant. Talk to me, Nan. I think that the more Jesus we take in, the more we bask in his presence, the more we say, I need your peace today, God, we get softer. You know what I mean?
I do, and I have. And I have a friend of mine in my life now who I've only known about 6 months, but they describe me as being someone who is just mild. Can you imagine mild?
Yeah.
Me, mild. You know, I have my moments of outgoingness and everything, but for the most part, you know.
You're smiled. Let things go.
Yes. And I didn't always be that. I wasn't always like that. And I was in turmoil and all the time. There was always, I mean, my dad always said, you know, when you called, I wondered what crisis was going on in your life. You know, that's a terrible thing to have your father be able to say truthfully.
But you know what? A lot of people are like that, and that's how they live.
And it's a terrible way to live.
But I propose that the whole essence of all this is found in this song, and it is Give Me Jesus, and it's all about resting in his promises and who he is for us. Listen to this. Danny Gokey, love this song. One of my favorites right now.
In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, oh. When I am alone, oh, when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. All I need, oh, it's all I need. Won't you give me Jesus? Oh, it's all I need.
Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we need you so much. Lord, there's so much of this that we've been talking about today that is so hard for us to let go. Let go of things that have hurt us, and to let go of our worries and our struggles and our anxieties. But Lord, we need you. The answer is you, Jesus. And for every listener now, present, or later on, let them realize this huge fact today. Without you, we can do nothing, but with you, we can do all things. You give us strength to overcome the hardest knocks in life, the hardest hurts, the biggest resentments, the biggest injustices that have happened to us. All of that, when we have you growing and growing in our lives and your word becoming so vitally important to us, when we have that, when we say, Lord, give me more Jesus, give me more of the word of God, let it just resonate in my being. Let me be what you want me to be and do what you want me to do. Say what you want me to say. Let me think the thoughts you want me to think. Let me be absorbed with you, God. And then, Lord, we know we begin to change and become more like you. And that is our goal. Give us Jesus. Help our listeners understand every bit of this today. Give us Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Pronounce a blessing of peace, shalom, peace, on our listeners right now. Let them desire the peace of God that passes all understanding. Amen. And it guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So be it. Amen and amen. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nan, did God give you a poem during that song?
Titled, I Am Here For You. I will be here for you. On this you can certainly trust. When you rise up, praise me, for this to occur is a must. I am here for you, precious one. I am all that you need within. Will you begin your day with me? To do this, you can now begin. What will your decision be? With this information, what will you do? I am here for you in all things. Precious one, my love is great for you.
That's beautiful.
And it's just like an
beautiful
invitation. It's
yes,
an invitation to each of us.
Yes, it is. Read it again. Let's hear it again.
I will be here for you. On this you can certainly trust. When you rise up, praise me, for this is to occur is a must. I am here for you, precious one. I am all that you need within. Will you begin your day with me? To do this, you can now begin. What will your decision be? With this information, what will you do? I am here for you in all things. Precious one, my love is great for you.
I love that. Woo, I've just got a couple minutes. This has been a really amazing show. It's been very anointed. It's been very, very insightful, I think helpful for our listeners. We love to hear from you. If you want to write us a note, I'm pastor@bohmglobal.com. Pastor Jim is pastorjim@bohmglobal.com. And we'd love to hear from you if you have prayer requests, prayers@bohmglobal.com. I want to give you both a final time to say here before we get out of here in just a few moments and watch that amazing Super Bowl tonight. Pastor Jim?
Okay, did you get my eye roll there?
Yes, I did. I saw your eye roll. You're not a football man.
No. I think as a takeaway from today, it's, peace is not automatic. There are certain things we need to do.
Yes.
In order to let the peace of Christ dwell in us richly.
Amen.
You know, there are certain things, and we talked about that. We spent the last hour actually really getting into that.
Right.
Things that God says, these are prerequisites for peace. These are things that need to happen first. And.
Amen.
You know, they're not really always easy things, obviously. But if we want to walk in that peace that passes understanding, then these are things we have to do.
I agree. And that's what the show's been about. And the benefits of that is real true peace
right.
when we put these things into practice.
And with peace, you can hear, I mean, you don't have all the clutter, so you hear from God more clearly. You get more out of the Word. You're able to focus more on the Word, what God's
That's right.
saying. You're able to build better relationships, not just with the Lord,
right,
which is the ultimate, but also with each other.
Absolutely.
You know, if there's chaos in your life, A, you're probably not going to want to be around other people, and they're certainly not going to want to be around you.
Right. Nan, final thought?
My final thought, I just want to remind the people what we've already talked about, and that's spend time with God, spend time in the Word.
Right.
Mark up your Bible, get yourself a journal, write down what you think or feel as you read whatever you're reading, as you pray whatever you're praying. Just spend time with Him, read the Word. Spend time with Him, read the Word.
That's it, right there. It's just, there's no substitute for spending time in the Word. And that's what we're all about at Beacon of Hope Ministries. And so we encourage you, get a Bible you can understand. A Message Bible I teach out of a lot because it's written in our everyday language. But NIV is an amazing Bible, New International Version, New American Standard. Get something that you can really get to, and Living Bible, and get the Word of God down on the inside of you. Pastor Jim, I just really encourage people to use our prayer line. Do you want to say one last word before we get out of here on that?
Yes, please do. And it doesn't matter if you think your request is insignificant to us. It's certainly not insignificant to God.
That's
and obviously
exactly
it's not
right.
insignificant to us either. But it doesn't matter how big, how small. We'll send it out and we're going to believe God for an answer.
Amen. Check out our Facebook posts on Beacon of Hope Ministries Facebook page. It's the one with all the colors in the lighthouse to distinguish it from other Beacon of Hopes. We got a lot of Facebook posts from the last year, probably 40 or 50 at least. So check them out. This Rest in Peace series is Rest in Peace, and then Rest in Peace 2, and then Rest in Peace 3 for the last three. So that will be a blessing to you if you catch those. And yes, send your prayer request in, prayers at bohmglobal.com. And always, always remember that it is not far to Jesus. He's right there. He's no distance. He loves you so very, very much. You are special to Him. You are His creation. You are the apple of His eye. He loves you, dear one. Spend time with Him and get closer to Him in this new week as we begin this week right now. It's not far to Jesus. We are always so pleased to be able to be here with you, and we are grateful for this opportunity week after week. Just let Him love you today. This has been Nan Watson, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, and me, Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries, Clearwater, Florida. Tune in again next week, same time, 3 o'clock Eastern. We will be right here Saturday and Sunday on StarcomRadioNetwork.com, StarcomRadioNetwork.com at 10 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday, followed by then our counseling show, Go Yard, right at noon Eastern. This is all Eastern times, Saturday and Sunday on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. God bless you. Have a good week. We'll talk to you and see you next week.